sermon for today is from Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. It is a sermon from Pastor Gregory. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Who expected this from the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger? After all, Jesus was born in the little town of Bethlehem and raised in the sticks of Galilee. His mother was young and poor. Her husband was a blue-collar worker. The best his child could expect was to follow in Joseph's footsteps, learn his trade, and then work until he died. But he didn't even have it that good. His life got tough the moment he stepped into the Jordan River with sinners. He was tempted by the devil in every way that we are, though without sin. He lived in poverty and contempt. He suffered terribly, was mocked, whipped, spat upon, abandoned by friends, forsaken by God, crucified like a criminal, and buried in haste. He knows the worst of what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be frail flesh and blood. He knows the depths of sin and of life under the shadow of death. He has the scars to prove it. Jesus came down to be one of us. He is from our neck of the woods. He is our brother. Considering where Jesus came from and what he went through, no one could have guessed where he would end up. It wasn't the grave. He rose. But that's not even the last surprise. His disciples had no idea. They set their sights too low. Their wildest dreams were of Jesus sitting on an earthly throne, ruling Israel and giving them a good life. But 40 days after Easter, Jesus does something more. He ascends to heaven and sits on the throne of God. Why? So that he might give us his own unending life. It's the greatest rags-to-riches story the world has ever seen. And we know the God. We're not talking about the exaltation of a stranger. This is our Jesus. There's hope for us because Jesus, our brother, is on heaven's throne. But how did he get there? Jesus was taken up into heaven. His body, right before the disciples' eyes, as Elijah saw Elijah swept up by a chariot of fire, so the disciples saw Jesus ascend as a man. There's nothing imaginary, pretend, or ghostly about it. First, Jesus went up, then a cloud hid him from sight, and they saw him no more. But don't be confused. Don't confuse what he did with the latest at NASA liftoff. He didn't propel up and away like a rocket ship into infinity and beyond. He didn't drift off into the sky like a lost balloon, becoming smaller and smaller until it can't be seen from Earth. His ascension wasn't like that. He didn't go to some distant place in the galaxy or a far corner of the universe. Instead, Jesus entered a cloud, and there he became invisible to his disciples. The cloud isn't an interesting detail about weather. Rather, it was in a pillar of cloud that the Lord himself brought Israel out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness to the promised land. The cloud was the visible sign of God's presence among his people. Later, when the tabernacle was completed, the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled it. Jesus was taken up into that cloud. He entered as a human being into the glory of the Lord, the divine majesty, so that he now fills both heaven and earth. He went beyond the universe, no longer subject to the limits of space, and he stepped outside of time into eternity. Jesus, our brother, is now always and everywhere. That is why the Ascension was and still is the furthest thing from a going away party for Jesus. There's no farewell, no tearful goodbye. Instead, his last words are, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Afterwards, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They weren't being left alone. Jesus is forever with his church. He ascended for that purpose, that he might be with his church in all time and in all places, from the first century Judea to the 21st century Westminster. He ascended so that he might be there, to be here today with you, so that he might serve you with his gifts, with his forgiveness and eternal life. Though we cannot see him, he is really present in this place. And because he is here, there is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. When Jesus was taken up into heaven, he was in the act of blessing his disciples. His hands were raised up, his arms were stretched out like a roof over his people, or like a hen shielding her chicks with her wings. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. The time since his ascension has been one long, continuous benediction, a never-ending blessing. His posture towards you hasn't changed. He still blesses you and keeps you. His face still shines on you. He still looks at you with his favor, holds his arms above you, and gives you peace. And so it is in the church until he comes, when every eye will see him, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord of all. Jesus ascended and sat down at the right hand of God. We confess this in the present tense. He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. This isn't a physical location. It's not as if Jesus had a permanent address somewhere in heaven. It refers to the throne and power of God. He is seated upon the cherubim. Our Lord's seat proclaims that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Jesus is co-regent, joint ruler with the Father. Alleluia, for the Lord our God, Almighty reigns. He is truly Christ the King, far above all rule and authority and power, dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And all things are under his feet. And he has given, as head, over all things to the church. And yet, this is the wonder of it all. Jesus is still our brother according to the flesh. It's not every day that you hear about a man sitting on heaven's throne, much less a member of your own family. So we haven't been left to fend for ourselves. We aren't fighting alone here below, trying to make our own way in the fight against the world, the devil, and sinful flesh. Instead, we have an ally, an advocate, a defender on heaven's throne. The High King of Heaven has sympathy for us. He has experienced what we are going through. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Because we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, we can, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace to help in the time of need. As one who learned obedience through what he suffered, he can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward. In Jesus, you've got a friend on the throne, and he set up a direct line for you. When we pray in his name, we can be certain that our prayers are heard and that the Lord will answer in the way that is best for us. Mark tells us that following Jesus' ascension to the right hand of the Father, the disciples went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed. confirm the message by accompanying signs. Clearly, the Lord remains at work in and through the words and deeds of the apostles. He is not distant and dead. He is alive and active. Jesus speaks in all their preaching and teaching, telling of his own death and resurrection. Jesus does the washing of regeneration, the renewal through the Holy Spirit and holy baptism. Jesus breaks the bread in his church and distributes it as his own body and blood. He hears and responds to the prayers of his people. In his name and by his authority, sins are forgiven. Demons are driven off, and life and salvation are granted. He ascended on high to give gifts to mankind, to us, through the word and sacrament. He has poured out the Spirit on his church. We know neither the day nor the hour of his return, but we do know this. Now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. However long it takes, it's for our benefit and for the benefit of other lost sinners. Jesus ascended not just for himself. He ascended in order to make us partakers of his divine life. His ascension reveals your future. You are not defined by your past, by your birth, life, sin, shame, or death, but by the life he gives you and has for you. Our brother has gone before us. He has prepared the way. We will be taken up with him. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. For now we wait, rejoicing that Jesus is present in our midst, and longing for him to be unveiled before our eyes. Our brother's kingdom shall have no end, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.